sometimes called the alto, and it is a lower-voiced sibling to the more soprano violin. Jennifer Gerhardt is one of Pittsburgh's most active violists. She and pianist Linda Morgan Ellison share with us works by Brahms, Reger, and others, this week on PNC Performance in Pittsburgh. Paul Johnston. Welcome to PNC Performance in Pittsburgh. Coverage of regional arts is made possible by a grant from the PNC Bank Foundation, winner of the prestigious Governor's Award for Support of Arts and Culture in Pennsylvania. Adagio by Arcangelo Corelli, played by the duo of Gerhard and Ellison, Jennifer Gerhardt, violist, and Linda Morgan Ellison at the piano on WQED-FM's performance in Pittsburgh. Jennifer, the viola has to be an incredibly rewarding instrument to play. I'm speaking as a former low brass player, tuba, euphonium, and there is something about an instrument which resonates the way a viola does, which gives great satisfaction.
It does indeed, Paul. I find that it's interesting, the more I play the viola, the more I am in love with the sound of it. My affinity for it grows as my own voice deepens as I get older, which obviously it wasn't when I was young and first playing, and the instrument that I play on is one that I really love as well. This piece that we just heard, the Corelli Adagio, which was originally for violin and piano, transcribed by Leonard Davis.
It was one of the, the fifth of the Opus 5 sonatas for violin.
Right, and he transcribed just this movement, and I find it incredibly fitting for the sonority of the instrument. It was transcribed and edited by Leonard Davis, who incidentally was a former teacher of mine in college, and he's done a lot of transcriptions, all very wise choices, very fitting for the sonority of the instrument.
And who made your instrument?
James Radford Coggan. He was primarily a viola maker, recently endeavored into the field of violin making as well, and his violins are also very beautiful, and they share the same richness and depth of sound as much as you can get on a smaller instrument, but they have that same sonority. Unfortunately, he passed away summer of 99. This piece, we both Linda and I fell in love with as soon as we tried it out. When we recorded it, we didn't have any idea that within a couple of weeks we were going to be hearing the unfortunate news that he had passed away. So I like to think this piece is dedicated to Jim Coggan, who had become a very dear friend of mine.
We'll do some more up-tempo stuff in just a few minutes on Performance in Pittsburgh, but how about one more of these mellow and elegiac pieces that bring out the sonority of this rich piano and gorgeous viola. This is A Romance by Max Reger. Linda, a little more about Reger and about this piece, maybe.
Born in 1873, died in 1916.
Roughly a contemporary of Johannes Brahms, I suppose.
I'm not sure they ever knew each other. Reger wrote more organ music. He wrote a lot. This romance that we did is, on paper, appears to be for piano and viola, only 2 pages worth of music. But I think it fills much more than 2 pages, both in what we love about it and in the harmonies and just the general mood. Thank you.
A Romance by Max Reger, with violist Jennifer Gerhard and pianist Linda Morgan Ellison. Jennifer.
My first acquaintance with that piece was many, many years ago when I was fortunate enough to hear, at the time, my teacher, Paul Doctor, phenomenal violist of his day, perform that at a recital. And it was probably one of my first real live bait moments in deciding to be a violist.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to the State University of New York at Purchase. It's now called Purchase Conservatory of Music. It was one of the first years, I think I was the ninth graduating class of that school.
Now, you're in Pittsburgh now, and you are one of the top call viola players in the freelance pool here. You play in the opera orchestra, the ballet orchestra. I've seen you play with the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble. Let's see, what, Wheeling Symphony?
Yes.
What am I missing?
Well, this week I am playing with the Pittsburgh Symphony as well. I sub with them when they call and I can. It is a very busy schedule, and I am committed to a lot of other things.
Well, chamber music, your duo with Linda. You also have a small ensemble which has played for the concerts in the parks, over at the Frick, for example, the Bach-Beethoven brunch series, and all. What's it? Help me out.
Valeska. Yeah.
Linda Ellison, you've been playing piano since, what, knee-high to a grasshopper, basically?
My father said I played before I walked.
Yeah? So you don't remember a time when you weren't playing the piano?
No.
You were a student of Menachem Pressler, famed pianist of the Beaux-Arts Trio.
Beaux-Arts Trio, correct, and also on the faculty at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana.
You're busy here in Pittsburgh. You have your own studio.
Yes, I do.
Privately.
Yes, I do.
Violist Jennifer Gerhard and pianist Linda Morgan Ellison this week on WQED-FM's Performance in Pittsburgh. The third of the Hungarian dances by Johannes Brahms. Brahms wrote, we're listening to Jennifer Gerhard, violist, and Linda Morgan Ellison at the piano. Brahms wrote something like, I think it was 21 Hungarian dances. If memory serves correctly, they were written originally for piano duo. A number of people came along and orchestrated them later, Anton Dvorak being among them, Parlov, a few other people. We're going to hear another Hungarian dance ahead on WQED-FM's Performance in Pittsburgh. But one of the big pieces for viola coming up here. Now, Jennifer, the Sonata for Viola, this Brahms wrote two sonatas, viola sonatas, his Opus 120, number one and number two, but actually, originally wrote those for clarinet, didn't they?
That is what is most commonly known to be, but it's funny because every time I've heard that, about every tenth time I hear someone say, no, some scholar will sometimes step forward and say it's thought that he did originally have the viola in mind. The fact that it almost is a moot point which he wrote first for, because the fact that Brahms himself transcribed them for viola indicates that somewhere as he composed this piece, he was on the same musical wavelength with both instruments and realized that, because it really is amazing, they work beautifully on both instruments.
It's not unusual for violists to play transcribed music. There's just not as much stuff out there. I don't know, is it related to all those viola jokes or something? You know, somehow, you know, you're the Rodney Dangerfield of the string section. You know, people don't write as much music for the viola. There are all those jokes out there. I don't know, what is it?
Well, I
such
think
a gorgeous
it's,
instrument.
You know, it's which came first, the chicken or the egg, the viola jokes or the lack of original music. I think that the reason being that the viola's original function was that of a more utilitarian instrument. It's, you know, any orchestral or chamber music part you look at, is it's predominantly accompaniment or filler type parts, and are moments of melodic lines are much fewer and farther between than many instruments.
It's very much an inner voice.
It's very much an inner voice, which I actually really love as well, that function, as well as the sound of the instrument. So much of our music, so much of our music available is transcriptions, and if you don't like that, then you really better not be playing the viola, because it's a huge percentage.
I don't know. I say beg, borrow, or steal. If it's a good tune, you know, play it on anything that sounds good on it.
Yeah.
Viola, just about anything sounds good on there. That use of the viola, though, as an inner voice within the orchestral texture or in a string quartet, chamber orchestra, what have you, it is no surprise that Brahms can write so well then for the viola, because Johannes Brahms was a person who took great care with what was happening in the inner voices. If you have sung any of his choral music, every voice counts and is rewarding. Linda, as you play his piano parts, on our Performance in Pittsburgh series, you've done a series of piano solos for
us.
Yes, I have. By Brahms as well. Every note counts in Brahms, and the kind of inner lines are so full of rhythmic subtlety and sophistication.
It's harmonic.
Amazing. Yeah.
Melodic, even though it's an inner line. And you wonder, since he destroyed so much of his work himself.
He did?
He omitted all his sketches.
So we don't have like the Beethoven sketchbooks.
No, we don't have the sketchbooks.
So we see these perfect
gems.
We
see wonderful writing.
Yeah.
And we're not sure exactly how it came to be.
Brahms was a pianist.
He was a very fine pianist who didn't like to practice.
Is that a fact?
That's what I've read.
This is the first of the two viola sonatas by Johannes Brahms. Jennifer Gerhardt, violist. At the piano is Linda Ellison.
Thank you.
first of two sonatas for viola and piano by Johannes Brahms, his opus 120, number one. Jennifer Gerhardt, violist, Linda Morgan Ellison at the piano on PNC, Performance in Pittsburgh. Listener-supported, this is WQED-FM, Pittsburgh, and WQEJ, Johnstown. Right, you know...